I'm grateful for the opportunity and the invitation to be with you tonight. My name, if we haven't met already, is Joey Davis. I'm from the Roanoke area and preach for the Roanoke Church of Christ there. I've been there for about 6 years. I grew up in East Texas, and so I'm a proud Texan grateful to be of this state and all the blessings that to go along with that. Glad to be with you tonight. Never been in this part of the state, so this is a first for me, and I'm glad to be here, grateful for this invitation. Thankful for Mike Bonner, and I'm grateful for the relationship that we are growing slowly, and I appreciate the Braswells. They mean a lot to me, and grateful for my friendship with them. Appreciate you being here tonight and having an interest in these matters. I've been given 3 sermons for tonight about with everything that I've been asked to consider in this lesson. You could probably spread it out over 3 lessons, but we won't do that. We will make it into one. The gist of my assignment has to do with our preparedness. Are, with respect to prayer, are we prepared to accept and defend a biblical position with respect to prayer? God does not hear every plea. Part of this assignment was, just because someone says they're praying doesn't mean that God is listening. And then on the other side of that, what about us? You know, what confidence do we have that God hears us when we pray? And so the questions that formed this lesson, the mere suggestion of the questions demonstrate that there's a problem, or at least a potential problem, with respect to our preparedness, our confidence, and our boldness. I would say that we are in large measure confused people about prayer. And I will explain that very shortly. But it seems that we, with complete confidence, don't really know what to expect when we pray. And so my aim tonight is to build confidence in what the Bible says about this matter, and then to establish a biblical expectation. When we get on our knees and we petition the God of heaven, what ought our expectation be? If we're not clear, if there's no clarity on these matters, then there's confusion. And if there's confusion, then there's no conviction. If there's no conviction, there's no boldness. And so that, in large measure, is the predicament of many Christians tonight. So let's clear that up. If I were going to take the 3 thoughts that went into this assignment and just kind of sum them up in my mind, this is what I would do, and this is what I did. The Christian's boldness in prayer is justified. And we'll use 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15 as the basis for that in just a moment. I have 3 points, 3 observations relative to this subject that I am hopeful will help us in this matter tonight. Here's the first one. Prayer is a privilege, and God neither hears nor responds to all pleas. Prayer is a privilege. When you think about a privilege, that's something that someone enjoys that not everyone else enjoys. And for the Christian, the New Testament Christian, the child of God, prayer is indeed a privilege that no one else enjoys. You just simply do not have that as a resource that they can utilize in times of need or trouble. You could probably just take 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And that pretty much sums up the whole idea that we're considering tonight. But let's develop that even more for the purpose of building our confidence and our boldness. Now, to say that God does not hear the prayers of those who are not Christian, those who are sinners, doesn't mean that God misses out on something that's said or done. God doesn't miss anything, whether it comes in action or whether it comes in word or whether it comes in the form of someone who's not right with God, bowing their heads and trying to petition him. He doesn't miss anything. I think of Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, where Jesus said, "But I say unto you, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account of it in the day of judgment." So God doesn't miss it. He hears it. But there's a difference between hearing and receiving and accepting something. Knowing and receiving are not the same thing. Sometimes, on occasion, you may have a crisis or a situation in your life where you are anxious for the prayers of others. And with social media of our day, it's often the case that we'll put something on a social media outlet, say Facebook or something of that nature if you use it, and we'll let people know we have this crisis or this challenge in our lives that we're trying to deal with, and the responses just come pouring in. "I'm praying for you." And I know some of these people. And I knew them in high school and in their growing up years, and it never changed. They had no interest, still no interest really, in God, but they say, "I'm praying for you." And it's almost a cliche of our time and day where it's almost like it's the natural response when someone's facing trouble or difficulty. "I'll pray for you." That doesn't mean that they're going to drop to their knees and say a prayer. Doesn't mean that they have a biblical expectation that God's going to hear them and respond to them. It's just something to say when they don't know what to say. What about us? Is our confusion with regard to prayer like that sometimes? I preached at least a version of this at home, and I started out this way with the congregation. I said, "Suppose you were strapped to a polygraph machine." And I don't know if you've ever had that done, but that's a pretty nerve-wracking experience. And then you're asked a series of questions while you're attached to this machine that's going to tell whether you're telling the truth or not. And if your confidence in what you said wavers at all, you know, that needle's going to start moving. And so maybe they ask, "What's your name?" And you tell your name and the needle doesn't move. And then they ask you, "Are you a Christian?" And you say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." And the needle doesn't move. And then they ask you, "As a praying person, are you confident that your prayers are heard and answered?" And you say, "Yes." What would the needle do? Now, we all have to answer that question for ourselves, but would it move? Is there any doubt? Is there any question or concern there about our prayers? That might tell the tale. It can't just be cliche with us. It can't just be something to say. We can't be like the world in a position where we're really not sure what prayer is or how God responds to it. You know, and these well-meaning people today will say this, but really they have no clue. It's like one person said, "Prayer is not the crying up the chimney of the universe to a celestial Santa Claus. It is an alignment of our wills with the sovereign will of the God of the universe. And we'll talk more about that later. This is not just something to say. It is a powerful privilege that you and I enjoy as Christians. And not everybody does. God sets the boundaries as to who He hears and to whom He responds. I think of Isaiah chapter 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from Him that He will not hear. And so God sets boundaries with respect to prayer. Not anybody can pray. And people in the world who live any old way they want to do not enjoy prayer. It is a privilege, one that is high, noble, and something for which we should be very grateful. Sometimes people will appeal to passages in the Bible that they don't understand and try to give that as an example of God hearing prayers of people who aren't right with Him. One popular one would be Saul of Tarsus. On the road to Damascus, he gets to Damascus where he's been told to go, and he's praying. The Lord tells Ananias, he's praying. Go look for him. He's praying. Well, that's not an indication that God was listening to him. He had already had his encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. And the Lord said, you go to the city and there it will be told you what you must do. As far as that's concerned, the Lord was finished talking with him until he had done what he needed to do. And so that passage tells us really what the Lord saw. It tells us what Saul was doing, but none of that on his knees or whatever he was doing, it wasn't to any profit because he needed to get his life right with God. And when Ananias came to him, as it's recorded for us in Acts 22:16, he said, why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? Arise, get up. Get up and do the thing that you need to do. Be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He wasn't calling. He needed to get up and obey the gospel, and that would constitute the calling that would be a benefit to him. So, passages of scripture in the Bible don't indicate that God hears people who are not in a right relationship with Him. On the contrary, it demonstrates that God has set boundaries. And the Christian, the faithful child of God, is the only one within the boundaries to enjoy the privilege that we know is prayer. A couple of other passages. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 9. The one who turns away his ear hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination to the Lord. And then Proverbs chapter 1 verses 28 and 29 says of God, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not be found of me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So we say all of that. We consider these passages in this first observation to say the prayer is a mighty privilege that you and I, as Christians, if it be the case tonight that you are a New Testament Christian, it is a privilege that we enjoy that the world in large measure has tried to take away from us and defame, but it's a privilege that we enjoy. Now let's notice in the second place, and we'll turn our attention more to 1 John chapter 5 to note these last two observations. Let's read that passage, 1 John 5 verses 14 and 15. And I encourage you to look at these verses maybe tonight in our consideration of them. You will see some things that you have not noticed before about this matter. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, look, brethren, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, you could even say there, and maybe your translation does say, and since we know and because we know. Same idea there. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, look now, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We know. Now let's talk about that for a moment. Number two, God does hear the prayers of every righteous person. God does hear the prayers of every righteous person. Think about a little child wanders away from home. Maybe there's a couple of 3 or 4 acres of yard behind the house. And they wander deep to the other side of that acreage. It's a wooded area. Sound doesn't get in and out very well. And they lose their direction. They're lost. And they're crying out as loud as they can for someone to come and help. But mom and dad can't hear. They may not even know yet that they're missing. But when they discover that they're missing, they can't hear the pleas or petitions. The child is lost in the woods. And no one can hear them. Sometimes we feel like we're lost in the woods. And no one can hear us. Well, we can be sure tonight that there will be in our times when we are in the woods, but we're never lost in the woods. If you are a faithful child of God, there is no place to which you can go, no depth, no height, no distance that you can go to where you are so far away from God that He can't hear you. John says, we know He hears us. And so when you're in the woods, when things seem thick and difficult and challenging, don't consider yourself lost. At a place or a point where no one can hear you. God can. And He's given assurance that He does. Notice Paul said, or John says rather, we know. We, that is, those in fellowship with God. Christians, faithful children of God. John chapter 9, verse 31 says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does His will, Him He hears. Doesn't say Him He might hear. Him He occasionally hears. Him He could potentially hear. It says Him He hears. Great confidence that God hears His faithful children. Perfect children? No. Faithful children. And we might also consider 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Where to Christians, John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Slip, fall, in the woods sometimes, but never lost as long as we're getting right back up, getting right back on the road of righteousness, and continuing to allow the blood of Christ to cleanse us of our sins. We're in fellowship with God as His faithful children. And we have confidence because Scripture tells us that He hears us. What about confidence in God? Do you have confidence in Him to hear your prayers? Do I have confidence in God to hear my prayers? The Bible talks repeatedly about the faithfulness of God. I like Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Where Moses says of Him that He is the faithful God. Listen, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations to those who love Him and keep His commandments. Faithful servants of His. He keeps covenant and mercy with them for 1,000 generations because He's the faithful God. There are other passages that talk about His faithfulness. I like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Now listen, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So we have confidence in Him because He's faithful. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And tonight, in at least two passages, we've noted that He hears us. And so when my life's in trouble, when I'm having difficulty, when I am compelled to fall to my knees in prayer, I may be uncertain about a lot of things, but this one thing I'm not going to be uncertain about. God hears me, and He hears you. He is the faithful God. Now notice in this passage there's a qualifier. He hears according to His will, right? If we ask anything according to His will, we could spend a whole sermon period or hour Bible study just talking about what that means, but for our time, suffice it to say that these aren't petitions of selfishness. They're not, you know, Lord, if You'll just make me rich, I'll be a happy person. You know, how does that align with God's will? Now, maybe you're a person of monetary wealth. Maybe you have some resources. And you pray, God, help me to use these resources in good stewardship to Your glory and honor. Now, that would be a petition that would be in alignment with His will. But not selfish, misguided desires. God's not interested in those kind of petitions. But we shouldn't have to worry about that because Christians shouldn't be interested in those kinds of petitions. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 40, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That's the primary purpose and interest of God. And we need to line up with that. And then we can be sure our petitions are according to His will, and they're not selfish and misguided. And God does indeed hear those petitions. Not really a related passage, but one I think gives us great confidence as we think about this matter is Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. The backdrop of this is the Israelites are in Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah is writing a letter to them. And listen to verses 11 through 13 of Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah says of God, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Here are God's people have gone into captivity because they have not paid attention to His will. And can't you just see some of those individuals praying, "God, please, we've learned our lesson. Please send us back home." But God in this letter through Jeremiah says, it's going to be a little while. Go ahead, build houses, marry, and make effective use of your time because it's going to be a while. God hears their prayers, but it's going to be a while before they get the answer that they seek and they desire. But the thing about that passage that is so intriguing to me as I think about our prayers is this. God says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Are you confident tonight as a child of God that He is of the same regard and opinion toward you tonight? That God says and you believe, "I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of peace, thoughts of good." And so doesn't it stand to reason that if we have our lives aligned with His will And God has thoughts of peace and love and joy toward us and hopes of giving us a future. And He's ready and eager to hear what's on our hearts and what our concerns are. Psalm 34, verse 15, same as 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12, or 3 and verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. Brethren, God does hear the prayers of every righteous person. Now let's notice in the third place. In fact, back up just a moment. Notice in verse 14 the word anything. Anything that we ask according to His will. Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Not like a daddy sitting in a recliner in a living room. Child comes over, daddy, chick, in a minute. You know, still reading, whatever, or, you know, doing this, whatever. Not like that. God is in tune, and He is paying attention, and He is listening to you, and He hears anything you ask. We're to cast all of our cares on Him because He cares for us. Now let's move on to verse 15. Look at the verse again. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Number three, God does respond to the prayers of every righteous person. Not only does He hear them, but this passage says He responds. We have what we have asked of Him. And so since we know that He hears us, John concludes, and God hears us, and He grants to us what we petition. And think again about the thought in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. And so John states very adamantly in the affirmative that God does respond to our prayers. He says, whatever we ask, and again, qualified with according to His will, not any old thing we ask in selfishness or greed or disregard for His law. Think about James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. James says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, you do not receive because you do not ask. And you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Well, we ought not expect God to grant those kinds of petitions. But again, faithful children of God who are trying to serve God and are of a mind to do His will, we're not thinking things like that. And we're not seeking those kinds of things from Him. You know, we sing a song from time to time. I don't know if you've ever thought about these verses in this light. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Unnecessary. Because we do not realize the power of the privilege that we enjoy as God's children. He says, we know we have. If you go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John said this, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you know that you have eternal life tonight? Yeah, we do, because We have studied God's Word and we see that He has a plan for the salvation of man. We've heard the gospel. We believed it. We've repented of our sins. We've confessed our faith in Christ. We've been baptized in water to have our sins washed away. And we are determined to live a life of faithfulness until death. And so we know that we have eternal life. Well, it's the same language used here with respect to receiving an answer to the petitions that we make of Him. We know that we have what we ask of Him. If there could be a humorous passage in the Bible, and there are a few that a perspective you look at them from, it's kind of humorous, but it's not so humorous as it applies to us tonight. Now think about the occasion when Peter, after James had been killed, martyred, and Peter was in prison, due up for the very same thing, and a group of Christians were assembled and had been praying constantly, Acts chapter 12 says, for Peter. And you know what? Peter got out of jail. The angel of the Lord came and helped him out of jail, and Peter goes to that house, I believe John Mark's mother's house, and he's at the gate and he's knocking, and a young girl named Rhoda comes to the gate. It's Peter. And she runs back inside to these praying people and says, Peter's outside. And they said, girl, you are mad. You're mad. They've been praying for Peter. God hears the prayers of the righteous. God responds to the prayers of the righteous. And Peter's out of jail, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 12, when they finally realized it was him and not his angel or spirit, they were astonished. Were they really convicted, I wonder, about their relationship with the God of heaven and the power of the prayers that they were making? Whatever petitions we ask, God hears those prayers. There is usually a divide between what the heart wants and what the prayer gets. Our challenge is to not allow our short-sightedness to lead us to believe that God has not heard and responded to our prayers. Let's think about that for a moment. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them, He told His disciples. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so we have all of these passages that assure us and give us confidence. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And that whatever petitions we ask of Him according to His will, we have those petitions. But why doesn't it always look like what I asked? Let me suggest to us that in regard to our limited perspective in this world, if we could see things from God's perspective, we might have asked differently than what we asked. I think of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had a pretty good perspective, he thought, about who he was and what he was. And yet through a vision, he was allowed to peer into the throne room of God. And he saw then himself for who he truly was. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Seeing it from God's perspective is completely different than seeing it from ours. And we look at our circumstances and we look at our environment and we say, this must surely be what I need, but it might not be exactly what we need. Or the way that I have formed it in my mind when I get ready to word it to God might not be the best way to handle that matter. But God sees everything. He knows everything. He is interested in my needs and my concerns, and He's promised to hear and He's promised to respond, and we can have that kind of confidence. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, an often abused passage, talks about all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called, the called according to His purpose. And sometimes people say, well, everything has a purpose and everything works out the way it's supposed to. And then we wonder, well, I prayed. And, you know, is this the way? Is this the way this is supposed to work out? Is this the only way this could be done? That passage has more to do with God's purpose. God has a plan. And God's going to get His people from point A to point B. And if you and I line our lives and our will up with His, though it may not always be clear, we'll get to point B because God's going to get His people from point A to point B. And in that sense, all things do work together. Those who love Him, those who are the called according to His purpose. But it doesn't always look clear to me. And how can I be confident and how can I be sure that God is answering my prayers? You may go to a financial advisor. You may go down to the Edward Jones office or Fidelity or somewhere and you say, I have this money and I want to invest it. And this is how I want to do it. I want to put this here, and this here. And the advisor says, well, we can do that. But if you do that, you're going to lose every bit of that money. And he says, I can accomplish the same thing that you desire by doing this. I can get you from here to hear, but not the way you think it needs to be done. You see, that professional knows a little bit more about that than most of us. And in a feeble way of illustrating this, what I'm trying to get us to see is God sees a much bigger picture. Much bigger. And what I think I need right now, at this moment, that this is the only way God can answer this prayer, may not be what's best for me. It may not be what's best for my situation. And when God answers, because He says He will, and I know He will, it may look different. But God knows what's best for me. Jesus said in Matthew 26, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That cup didn't pass. But look what came out on the other side. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, remove this thorn in the flesh 3 times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul thought whatever this thorn was going to be a hindrance to him being the apostle that Jesus Christ wanted him to be. Let me ask you tonight, did whatever that thorn was, did it hinder him in any way? I can't see it. What I think is the answer to my prayer may not always be. And that's the point where I have to say, I trust you. Now you think about that. You have your wife sick, your husband sick, your child sick, and you say, Father, in my mind, please help them right now. And this is how it needs to be done. You know, we talk about help the doctors, help the medical staff, and we tell God how to answer our prayers. when you and I ought to be able to have the confidence to say what we think and how we think God ought to answer, but then to say, I trust you. I trust you. Because we know that He's concerned and He's in tune to our lives, and that He has promised to hear and He's promised to answer our prayers. Now that's biblical prayer. And that's a privilege that belongs only to Christians. But we've allowed the religious stage players of our day to hijack one of the greatest resources that God has given us, prayer. To the point that we're not even sure what we have. And our prayers become rote, mechanical, habitual exercises. At times, brethren, no different than if we were rubbing on a genie's lamp, hoping something was going to pop out of it. But that's not who we are. And that's not what we have. And don't let pretenders, don't let abusers of these things cause you to doubt what God has promised. You have clearly some prayers dropped to the floor like a lead balloon. But if you're a faithful child of God and you're walking in the light as He is in the light, not yours, we know that He hears us. And we know that we have our petitions. May God help us to have that kind of courage. Now, if we're clear about it, and hopefully this has helped some tonight, then we can have confidence about it. And we can be bold about it. And we can go boldly before the throne of grace and find help in time of need. May God help us to have that kind of courage and to understand and to not allow people to take this away from us. Tonight, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to any who may not be a child of God in the most kind way that I know how to say it. If you're not a Christian, you are missing out on one of the greatest tools and resources that you need in this life. And that prayer, to be able to call on God, to make the concerns of your heart known to Him, and to know that He hears, and to know that He responds. How do you get in that relationship? We've already talked about it once. Through obedience to the gospel, through faith that comes from God's word, through repentance of sin. You have to get away from the things that separated you from God to begin with, sin. You have to repent. You have to confess your faith in Christ with your mouth. And you must be baptized in water for the purpose of having your sins washed away. And you, if you do that tonight, if you need to, if you do it tonight, you become a Christian. You become a child of God. You come into the association and the fellowship of these brethren in this place and New Testament Christians all over the world. And you have as a resource at your disposal for ready, daily, all the time and in everything use, prayer. Something that as a person who's not a Christian, you don't have right now. So if you need to obey the gospel, why not do it tonight? I'm going to sing a song to encourage, and if you have any need at all, we can assist you with. Won't you come as we stand and sing?